Our first reading this morning from the Old Testament is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. This is Moses speaking to the Israelites. "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And our New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church of Corinth at the time. And this is Paul speaking, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting just like people, like men of the world? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building." Well, good morning. It's always an honor to be present here, to participate in worship at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, to join in the life of the community. It's wonderful to step in here and to assist Pastor April. April's dear to all of our hearts, as is the church. It's really an incredible place. And it's just so special to me. In fact, I will be a member shortly, once again. So we had members for a long time, and then we moved to Michigan for a few years, and we live in the South Bay, and with kids, it was a little hard to get them all the way up here Sunday morning. And now with three kids, we've sort of got it down to a science. So I think it's time we could go from Chula Vista back up here. So the topic I'd like to address this morning is community. Since we have such a dynamic and incredible community here, let's talk about that this morning. The question that we want to consider is community. What makes it tick? So let me start with a story about a young rabbi. He's a new rabbi, fresh out of preparation, has his first congregation, and that first service, that first Shabbat, he sees that there's tension, there's quarreling in the congregation. And half the congregation seems to think during the reading of the Ten Commandments, you're supposed to stand. And the other half says, no, that's wrong, you're supposed to sit during the reading. So there is terrible dissension. And here is this young rabbi who has to try to resolve this. So he says, all right, let me go to the most senior member of the congregation. Let me find the oldest member of the congregation. And he does by visiting a nursing home to find out what was the original custom. You know, what are we supposed to do? Stand or sit? There's all of this quarreling. And the senior listens to this, listens to the report about the quarreling and the dissent, and he says, "Oh yes, that is our custom." And perhaps that's what makes us community. After all, it's the ability not to end the squabbling, but to survive despite it. That is community. But isn't, after all, that also the definition of marriage and family? You kind of survive, you stick together despite all of that. At least it is for me. So let us consider then the passages that we have. The first, the Old Testament passage from the book of Deuteronomy, has led the Israelites out of slavery through the sun and just on the verge of entering the promised land, the land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have gone through tremendous stress and challenge, and here they are about to move in. And Moses speaks to them at this time of desperation. After all, they are recently escaped from bondage, from slavery. Egypt is out there. They're surrounded by a culture, actually cultures, that is dramatically different than their own. And they're heading into the unknown. So they are a distinct culture, worried about what is ahead. And here's Moses telling them, you need to preserve your way of life. You need to preserve your traditions and your values. You need to stick to those values. And if you do, the community survives. If you turn from those values, if you turn away from your culture, to all the temptations of the cultures that are all around them, the community surely will die. And to choose life, unless they adhere to those values and those traditions that are their own, the community is gone. It cannot survive. There's an echo of this in Paul's admonition to the church of Corinth. After all, we have a similar situation here. Paul is concerned not only to keep the community alive, it's just beginning. He's trying to nurture that, but Paul is also trying to grow and expand that community. And here in this church in Corinth, what? Dissension. Quarreling. He talks about it as if it sounds like the world, the culture out there. Paul's message is simple. And I will re-quote it again. This is chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This idea that we are God's fellow workers is corrective. To keep this in mind, when we turn our perspective to this, we realize each of us is but a worker bee, with different assignments here in the church, in this community. We're worker bees, the church is the queen, and Jesus. It's not about following this person or that person or quarreling over this issue or that. Should we stand during the Ten Commandments or should we? But, having said all that, I haven't addressed the question that I started out with. What is the building block of this community? What and traditions that we must adhere to? And if we talk about the community as a building, what's the plan? What's the design? What do we need to preserve to keep this community alive? Basically, what's the minimum membership requirement here at PBC? Now, I'm reminded of Groucho Marx's great quote, I think my favorite of all his many great quotes. I would not want to join any group that would have me as a member. that's a pretty low standard for a membership there. Now, others create definitions, or rather minimum requirements, that are entirely different, that emphasize inclusion, that seem to be communities prepared for assault, go on the offensive with high walls and deep moats to keep others out in the most militant fashion. And that reminds me of another Groucho Marx quote. I have a mind to join a club and beat you over the head with it. And I think there we can think of religious communities and other communities that have this sort of self-definition that often can be so offensive or frightening. Think about it. We all have images of churches and other groups picketing funerals. People burning copies of scriptures of religious traditions that are not their own. And perhaps we shudder. That's not our understanding of community. That's not our values or traditions here as we understand our community. What then makes us? What shapes our community? What is it that we must preserve here and we must use to reach out to others? What are our standards and values? As Moses is calling the Israelites to cling to those standards and values, as Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, what do we use? And so let me plug next Sunday's class we're going to have, 5 p.m. We have our dinner at 5 p.m., and then there's class on reflections on the Christian tradition and history, 5 p.m. next Sunday. My sermon, in fact, is a 15-minute commercial for next Sunday's event. Sunday, 5 p.m., dinner, and then we'll have class. So what is it then? What is it? Well, is it our inclusiveness? Is this a value and standard that we need to cling to and share that makes us us? Is that something? Is it our time together right now, here, in worship? Our willingness, week after week, to be subjected to sermons? I got to think now, because we have a wonderful preacher here. But think about what a sermon is, that we allow ourselves willingly to come to church, and we allow this to fall upon our ears. A sermon is this 15, 20, 25, 30, I don't know, not today, minute talk where we are told that we are loved. That's a nice thing. But it's couched in a message that says, you can be better. And you should be better. So you get kind of love and encouragement, and we have a higher standard that we are to live up to. Is that our standard and value? I think there's something to that. So come to my class next Sunday, 5 o'clock. Okay. Is it Scripture and Jesus? Well, certainly. But Christian churches and communities have wildly different interpretations and understanding of Scripture and its application to our lives and to Jesus. Again, we'll address some of that next week. So perhaps it's all of these things, our inclusiveness and our welcomeness and our worship and our Scripture and our relationship to Jesus. But let me propose this morning something. One other aspect that I think is critical to making us us. A value that we need to hold on to and to share as Christians is that we are countercultural as a community. We are called not to conformity with the world around, but we are rather called to challenge it, question it, to offer a different model to it. And through that process, we transform the world. And we individually are transformed as we are as a community. So this is a challenge. And this is precisely the challenge that Moses is offering to the Israelites. Choose life or choose destruction. And it is life and destruction for the community itself. So we may stand out as God's fellow workers, but we stand together as the church. You and not the building are the church. Each and every one of us. So keep building. Keep striving as fellow workers, as workers' bees, and let's see what we can do together. Even if at times we bicker, perhaps after all, that is our custom too. Amen.
Gracious and holy God, we thank you for this light of yours that lights us from within and lights the path before us. We thank you for this community of friends, these faithful folks who come to sit together in your presence to be forgiven and inspired and uplifted by your word, so that we may go into the world as your people to do the work that you have for us to do. And sometimes, Lord, we know that work is to bring mercy and kindness and an encouraging word to others. And sometimes that work is to stand up and be different from the culture and the world around us, and to cling to what we've learned here about respect and generosity and faithfulness, about caring for our bodies and our relationships, about caring for everyone in our community, even those who appear to be the least among us. And I thank you, God, for the gifts that you have placed within this community, the different talents and abilities, the different perspectives, the different personalities that get brought here. And I thank you for the amazing way that you take these gifts and bless them and multiply them and weave together this amazingly beautiful thing called the church. It's a joy to us to be part of your church and to experience for ourselves how you work through our gatherings and our traditions and our questions to draw us more closely to you and to one another. And we're mindful, Lord, as the world today is so connected, we're mindful that every day things of amazing significance take place, and a whole lot of ordinary everyday things take place as well. And so each day we do indeed need to look to you to be our light, our strength, our defender, and our friend. And as Jesus, who came to make this friendship visible, taught us, we now pray together using the words he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.